identity and mystery of the art. Well, we look forward to the show.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you very much. Okay, so tonight we will be learning a sicha. I know there's different styles of this shir. So what I usually do with my ladies on a Tuesday night is we learn a sicha inside. We use a text. So I'll share my screen and just see. Hopefully I can. Yeah, there we go. There we go. That's good, right? Everybody can see, I hope. Okay. So hello, everybody. And for my ladies, we've had a bit of a break, and now we're coming back. So we're starting our term. And yes, and tonight is actually Rosh Chodesh Av. So as we say, Chodesh Tov. And there's no better way to start Chodesh Av than by learning. Because we know that it says, Mishenichnas Av mimatin besimcha, that when Av comes in, you decrease in joy. But we know we put the comma in a different part of the sentence. Instead of saying we decrease in joy, we say, Mishenichnas Av mima'atin. How do we decrease any of the pain, any of the hiddenness, any of the darkness that seems to come with the 9 days? It is through simcha. And what is one of the greatest ways to attain joy is through learning. So there's no better way to start our 9 days, to start Rosh Chodesh, than with actually learning. And today we will learn a sicha that, just to tell my ladies, that we have done before, for sure. I'm sorry. I've done it a few times in different ways. It's one of my favorite. It's a beautiful, beautiful sicha. It is a sicha on the Beis HaMikdash, because that's what we are told, that obviously, when we learn about the Beis HaMikdash, it's as if we're actually building the Beis HaMikdash. So this is one of the many sichas that have been put together from the Rebbe on, actually specifically on a part of the Rambam, Hilchas Beis HaBchira, where he discusses the Beis HaMikdash. Before we go into our actual sicha, on this page that we have in front of you, this is just a little snippet of the Hakdama, of the introduction, which the Rambam gives to his sefer. And in order to understand our sicha properly and with the full depth and the full richness, it is the best way to do it is by first looking for, we'll just look at a drop of the introduction of the Rambam, because as in everything in life, before we do something, it is so good to know what we are setting upon. In other words, and this the Rambam himself will tell us, the Rambam sets out in his Hakdama exactly the purpose and the structure of his sefer. And we might think that's just a technical detail. And, you know, lots of times people like to skip an introduction, get into it. You know, it's much more exciting to learn the actual meat. But with the introduction of the Rambam, besides the fact that the Rambam's introduction happens to be fascinating in its own right, but besides that, this is something I think that really is a lesson for me personally, just for my entire life. When we wake up in the morning and we know our purpose and we know how to achieve our purpose and what tools we have, we can actually live in a deep and meaningful way. And what we'll see tonight is that by first understanding the Rambam's, how he himself designates and how he himself sets out what his sefer is for and how he lays out his sefer, that is what helps us to learn the most deep and beautiful lesson that we will learn. And without being aware of this, we might have just missed the entire thing. So just to see what the Rambam tells us that it was, you know, during his time, he lived in the time in the time of Jewish history known as the Rishonim, at the 1100s. And it was after the time, obviously, of the Mishnah, after the time of the Gemara, after the time of the Ga'anim. There were many, many Svarim already written on Halacha. But the Rambam writes something interesting, and we actually, interesting because this is, we're talking almost 1,000 years ago now, and we can, I think, relate very, very much now to what the Rambam writes even then. And the Rambam writes that in his time, Bizman Azeh, Tokfu Tsoros Yiseiros, there's many difficulties, many travails, V'dochka Asha Es HaKol, and therefore it's a very pressing time. And what happens is, V'ovda Chochmas Chachameinu, and therefore the wisdom of our Chachamim have been lost, U'binas Nevaineinu Nistatra, and a lot of the understanding is hidden. Therefore, Lefichach, Oysun HaPirushin V'Halochas V'Atshuvas Shechibru HaGa'inim, all of those halachas, all of the different compositions that were written by the previous greats, by the Ga'anim, V'ra'u Shehem B'vu'arim, and they thought, when they wrote it, obviously, they wrote it in a way which would clarify for the people of their generation what to do. Nevertheless, now everything that they wrote in their time, which for their time was clear, is not so clear for us. He says, V'ra'u Shehem Dvarim B'vu'arim, Niskashu B'yameinu, in our days, even their clear writing, so to speak, has become difficult. Only a select few can understand what they write. And therefore, he says, and that's about the writings of the Ga'inim, and for sure, when we're talking about the Gemara, the Bavli, the Yerushalmi, and all the different Medrashim, the Sifra, the Sifri, the Tosefta, as he says, Shehem Tzrichin Das Rechava V'Nefesh Chachama Uzman Aruch. They need a tremendous amount of knowledge, they need wisdom, and they need time. And obviously, as the Rambam himself says, in his time it was difficult. So we're talking about time, which means that we are able to concentrate. That ability to concentrate, which comes with usually a time which is free of challenges. I mean, not that any time is free of challenges, but less challenges. So he says, and after when you have all of that wisdom, then and you learn those things, you're able to know exactly how to live your life properly, how to implement what's permitted, what's forbidden, exactly what the halacha is. So now, we have a problem, because it's not accessible for everybody. So the Rambam says, "Umipnei zendi arti chatzni." It's very beautiful language. He says that I've woken up, and as they say in the parentheses, "Arti ani Moshe ben Maimon Asfaradi, v'nishanti al Hatzur Baruch Hu, and I rely on Hashem, my rock, ubi noisi be'elu hasfarim, and my understanding in these svarim, v'ra'isi l'chaber dvarim hamisparim mikol elu hachiburim." And the Rambam says that now I have come to compose a book which is very, very clear. We'll see soon how he repeats that. From all, and he is selecting, he's taking a selection which he feels is what's most applicable and most relevant, and that we can apply from all of the different svarim. Be'inyan ha'isser v'ha'mutar v'ha'tameh v'ha'tahar im shar dinei ha'tayra, and you can see he emphasizes, what is his main goal? What is the theme? Halacha, how to act. What is permitted? What is forbidden? What is pure? What is impure? And as the Rambam says, kulam b'loshem brura v'derech k'tzara, they were all written in a very clear and a very concise way. Ad shehei teresh b'al peh kula sturib fi hakol, b'loi kushya v'loi peruk, loi ze'oimer b'koi v'ze'oimer b'koi. And as the Rambam says, the idea is that we're not going into a whole discussion and analyzing and deciding this opinion is this way and that opinion is that way. Rather, I am going to put together a book which will clarify very exactly how we should be acting. Al pi ha-mishpat asher yisbar mikol elu ha-chiburim v'ha-perushim ha-nutzami mois rabbeinu ha-kodesh v'ad achsha, from the time of the Mishnah until his time. And he says, and what, just to read a few more lines, see again, what is his purpose? So far we see that it is written clearly, it is written concisely, it is a safer, as he says, to know what's pure, what's impure, not necessarily to know all the different philosophical questions, not only philosophical, but even all of the different questions and answers and all the different discussion until they arrived at the verdict, so to speak. The Rambam says, that's not what my goal is. And he says, Ad sheyu kol hadinin gluyin lekatan v'legadol, all of the halachas will be revealed, both to young and old, badin kol mitzvah. Again, to know exactly how to act in every mitzvah. And as he says, ubedin kol advarim shetiknu chachamim, in the din of exactly how the chachamim decided in every mitzvah, and the Nevi'im and the prophets. And as he says, and this is a very contentious part of the Rambam that many people were a little bit upset about, but according to the Rambam, you could learn the written Torah, then open up the Mishnah Torah, and you have the whole Torah there. You don't need anything in between. But I just want to skip, and I want to show you something that's relevant for us. V'ra'isi l'chalek chibur zeh Again, famous words that the Rebbe quotes many times, halachos, halachos. As we can see, the Rambam stresses, what is the goal of my sefer? Halacha, to know what to do. Bechol inyan v'inyan. And as the Rambam also says, he says it in a clear and a concise way, but it's not just clear, concise, and halacha, but it's also organized by topic. So he says, I'm not going to go according to where it's found in the Chumash or where it's found in the Mishnah. Rather, I'm going to organize my halacha by topic, and therefore it's going to be very clear for you what to do and what not to do. All very important for us before we learn our sicha. Now we can start to see, and because we are aware of this, and obviously the Rebbe was very aware of this, that is what gives us the insight to understand something absolutely beautiful and deep about something which we, without that introduction, we could have just quickly skimmed over and not realized that in it lay such incredible depth and such a beautiful lesson for us. So we'll start from, as the Rebbe will quote, a part of the Hilchos Beis HaBchira from the Rambam. And this is from Perek Dalid in Hilchos Beis HaBchira. And as the Rebbe will quote, we're going to have just a little part of the halacha. And it talks about what was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And he says, after he mentions what was in, we know that there was the Tzinsenes HaMan. We'll mention that soon. The little part of the Man. There was the stick of Aaron, there was the broken luchais, and of course we know that there were the luchais. And the Rambam says, Even Haisa b'Kodesh HaKadoshim, there was a stone in the Kodesh HaKadoshim b'Ma'aravai on the west side, Shalah Haya Ha'arein Munach, and upon which that stone was, the Aaron was laying. And we know that stone is known as the Even Shesia. We'll mention it soon. That's the foundational stone of the whole world, which actually beautifully Shlomo HaMelech, it says that, not Shlomo, but actually says David and Shmuel HaNavi were the ones who identified that stone and said, this is the stone upon which, from which Hashem created the whole world. This is a very special stone. And upon that stone, the Arayin rested. And then the Rambam continues. Ube'eish shebano shloimes habayis. We know the first one to build the Beis HaMikdash, the one who built the first Beis HaMikdash, was Shlomo HaMelech. And at the time that he built the Beis HaMikdash, v'yada shesoifei li charev. And he knew that it will at the end be destroyed. Bana by makaim lignois by ha'arayin. He created within it a place to hide the arayin, lemata underneath, bimat meinias, amukais, v'akalkalois. In these vaults, which were windy, curvy, and very deep. Very maze-like vaults, which he created because he was aware already at the time of the building that it will be destroyed. The Yoshiyahu HaMelech, and at the time of Yoshiyahu HaMelech, and we'll discuss soon exactly when he lived, but it was much, much after the time of Shlomo. It was about 30, 40 years before the Churban, before the destruction. So in the time of Yoshiyahu HaMelech, Tziva, he commanded, V'gonzo b'mokim shabana Shlomo, and they hid the Arein in the place that Shlomo had built. And we know because it says in the Navi, in Melachim Shenemar, V'yomer le'levim ha'mevinim l'chol Yisrael, ha'kadoshim la'ashem. He commanded, he actually told the Levim, and there's really, most opinions say that this is not really referring to Levim, these are referring to Kohanim, because only Kohanim can actually enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But he commanded them, those Levim, and who were they? Ha'mevinim l'chol Yisrael, they are known, and they are the special ones, they are designated by the Jewish people, they are holy to Hashem, and he told them, Tnu es Arein HaKodesh, that you should put this Arein Kodesh bebayis asher bono Shlomo ben David Melech Yisrael in the house, which means obviously in that special place which Shlomo, the son of David, the king of Israel, made. Ein lochem masa bekasef, you cannot carry it anymore. You know, even though in the Beis HaMikdash we didn't actually carry the kelim, but nevertheless, this was part of the personality of the kelim, that they are carryable, so to speak. The idea being that we will not be seeing this Arein anymore. So now he says, even though you won't see it, ata ivdu es Hashem aleikechem, still continue to go serve Hashem your God. And then v'nignazimai, we know what was hidden with the Arein. the Mata Arain, the stick of Arain, and it's in Senes Ha-Mon, it doesn't mention here, but also that little jar of mon, the Chol Eilu Loi Chazru Bebayis Sheini, and all of these things did not return during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. V'af Urim V'tumim Shehayu Bebayis Sheini, Loi Hayu Meishivim Beruach HaKodesh, the Urim V'tumim, whether they were there or not is a question, but with the Kohen Gadol definitely wore something on his, like a Chayshin, but nothing answered. It didn't work. It didn't reply during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. Now, after we learned that Hakdama, we have a lot of questions on this halacha of the Rambam. So let's see. The Rebbe will very clearly lay out many questions that will strike us immediately. The Rambam said he's clear. He's concise. He chooses his words. He's a book of halacha. What is all of this? This sounds like a beautiful, insightful, historical lesson. What's going on? V'tzarech lahavin. So we have to understand. And many of the Mefarshim actually have these questions. L'may nafkemine lahalacha. What difference does it make? How does it apply halachically? Kol arichos v'sipur advarim. The whole length and the whole story. All of the details of the story. Heichan, where, ve'eich, and how. V'al yidei mi, and through whom. Nignas ha'arein. Who hid the arein? V'harei divrei harambam b'sifrei yad ha'chazaka. As we mentioned, lahalacha amurim. They are said for halacha, that's the purpose, that's the goal. Udvarim she'en yaitzim en din mehadinim, v'loi musar v'hanhaga v'yediyah hatzricha, ein midarkai, zechreinu levracha, letapel bahem b'chibur zeh. So anything which doesn't apply to halacha, and doesn't, it could be musar like Hilchas Deis, but they apply to how we have to act, the Rambam doesn't spend his time, he doesn't deal with them in this sefer. He has other svarim. He has other sfarim in which he deals with philosophical matters, but not in this sefer. Yisayir Mizu, Inyan Zev, this concept, how and where the Arin was hidden, as we know, if you look into the Gemara, and it's very, very fascinating, there are many different opinions. Some opinions actually say that the Arin was taken into Bavel with them. What happened to it is a mystery. Some say that actually it was hidden in a different part of the Beis HaMikdash, in a special part, a special lishka, which was where they would have the wood for the Mizbeach. And there's a whole fascinating story in the Gemara that says that there was once a Kohen in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. Actually, interesting, the ones, the Kohanim who were working in that office actually were there because they weren't able to do other service, so they were already a little bit I don't know how you say it, but they were already maybe puzzled in some way or impure in some way, and they were designated to this job to check if there's any worms in the wood. Anyways, this Kohen was obviously a bit distracted, and he noticed that one of the bricks in that special room was elevated, and he thought to himself, must be something's wrong, something's there. And he figured out that that's where the Arain is hidden. And he got so excited and he wanted to tell his friends and he started to go tell. And the Gemara says the story, before he got a chance to open his mouth, he actually passed away. So there are many different opinions as far as what happened to the Arain. And even this with the hiddenness, where was it hidden? And yet we see here that the Rambam decides, he says one view, which is fine, which is what he does. But nevertheless, it doesn't even seem to affect halacha. Why does he have to decide which is the view, mention this view, that it was hidden underneath the Kodesh HaKadoshim in a special place designated there by Shloima in this maze-like vaults. Okay, so he says, Yisayirim is even more than this. Inyan Zeh. So yeah, as we said, so this was there's a whole machlekes. Im kein l'shema machriya haRambam. Why does Rambam have to decide? Kedivrei ha'echad, according to like one me'achash l'chayre, inyan zeh negei l'dina. It doesn't seem to affect the halacha. That's one big question. Then there are a few other details, but we're skipping here, so we're going to come to the main questions. The Rebbe continues, Yiseira Mizu, B'shnei Ha'inyonim, both concepts of hiding the Aron and who hid the Aron, Mayrech HaRambam B'kama V'kama Pratim. We see that the Rambam, as we said originally, was supposed to be concise, and yet here he seems to go into a lot of detail. Sheshloima HaMelech, doesn't just say Shloima, Shloima HaMelech, King Shloima, Bona, he built as Hamakim Legniz Arain, this special place for the hiding of the Arain. And more than that, what kind of place was it? Lemata b'matmeinies amukos v'akalkales. Underneath in these way, you know, these maze-like vaults. Another thing, who was the one that actually hid it and or organized that it should be hidden was Yoshia HaMelech. And as the Rambam writes, Yoshia HaMelech. And what does it say? Tziva. He commands. And they hid, not just that they hid. Another question, that it was the place, V'ganzu b'mokim shebana shleima. Again, stressing, the Rambam stressing, where did they hide it? In the place that Shlomo built. All these details must be very significant. And as we said, we only notice them because now we know that they seem to be extra. And also the Rebbe says, Mevi al zeh raya me'akasov, we bring a proof from the Pasuk, which the Rambam doesn't have to do. V'noisav lazeh, hu ma'itik me'akasov gam ha'tevis, he also brings extra things, that who were the ones that Shlomo sent to take the Arayin? La levim ha'mevinim l'chol Yisrael, akdoshim la'ashem. As he says, Ben David melech Yisrael, ein lachem masa bekasef ata ivdu es Hashem aleikechem, which means, very interesting, that who was it? It was specifically holy people, whether they're Leviim or Kahanim. Kahanim are also part of the tribe of Levi, so they can be called Leviim. They are special people, designated holy, so to speak. And now, also interesting, as you can see, you might think the Arin is gone, they don't have any work to do, you can't work anymore. No, Yeshio makes sure to tell them, continue doing your work in the Beis HaMikdash. As he says, very interesting, they're not even approved. They're not even necessary, all these details, in order to know that Yeshio was the one that commanded that this is the place and it should be hidden in the place where Shlomo built. Why all these seemingly extra details? As it says, what do we learn? Why? So now, as the sicha is a little bit longer, I have skipped because we are limited in time. But let's see. But I've chosen the parts I think that will help us to understand in a beautiful way. We, of course, before we get to an answer, we'll have another question, and this question will give us the insight to understand what this whole halacha of the Rambam is. V'yuvan ze behaktim diuk b'naygei lehamakim b'ymevi ha-Rambam es halacha zu. So we will understand this by first understanding something which seems, again, like an insignificant detail, but we will see, as we set out at the beginning, that the Rambam said that his halacha sefer is written not only clearly and concisely, but every halacha is put according to topic where it belongs, very organized. Therefore, we will understand something by having a very interesting question to see where this halacha is. So he says like this, if you look at the Hilchas Beis HaBchira from the beginning, Betchilas Hilchas Beis HaBchira Kaisev HaRambam, so right at the beginning of Hilchas Beis HaBchira, the Rambam sets out, Eilu Hein HaDvarim Shein Ikar B'Binyan HaBayis, these are the main things, these are the items which are the main parts of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, Eisen Bei Kodesh, so he designates all the different rooms, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, the Ulam, right, the hallway, and then all the structure, so to speak, the layout of the Beis HaMikdash. After that, V'achar kach kaisev, V'oisen b'mikdash kelim. He says you have to make kelim, you have to make vessels. And then, U'mifaret es klei HaMikdash u'mekayman. And he details all of the different kelim, the different vessels, and where they go. That's in the first perek. B'prokim shel acharzeh, if you continue, in perek Beis and Gimel in chapter 2 and 3, then he discusses all of the exact measures, the looks of all of the different vessels that were in the Beis HaMikdash. That's in Perek Beis and Gimel. Now we, to our halacha, we said, was in Perek Dalid. What's the theme of Perek Dalid? The fourth chapter is really about the structure, the walls, the heichal, the gates, so the actual physical, so to speak, building itself, the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. The lefizet sarech bir, and according to this, it's not, we need to understand. Harei ha'arein shayach l'chayre l'klei HaMikdash. Seemingly, we would imagine, and we always say, what is the arein? It's one of the kelim, one of the vessels. The eich matim, arichos b'halacha hanal al Dvar gnizas ha'arein b'perek dalid ha'oisek b'tzuras habayis. How does this halacha come into this chapter? This halacha about the arein and where we hide it should, we would think, be either in chapter 2 or in chapter 3, where we're dealing with all of the vessels of the Mishkan, of the Mikdash. And here we're dealing with the structure. how come we're putting the where we hide the Arayin in the structure part of the Beis HaMikdash? So this is a very big question, and this will help us understand something. So the Rebbe says this makes us, it actually implies and it clarifies, the fact that the Arayin is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, who prat bitzuras habayis, it must be that this is not just that the Arayin is another vessel in the Beis HaMikdash. Rather, this is a detail in the actual structure of the Beis HaMikdash. Kloimar, ha'arein eine rakeli shematzli b'kodesh HaKadoshim. It's not just a vessel that happens to find itself in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, like all of the other kelim which find themselves wherever they are. Rather, ki imhu chelek m'kodesh HaKadoshim atzmai. It is an actual part of the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself, as we say. Kevan sha'arein oises Beis HaMikdash lebayis la'Hashem. It is the Arayin which makes the Beis HaMikdash into the house of Hashem. K'maisha kosov v'na'adati l'chasham. That's where Hashem reveals himself. We don't have time today, but we know there are many, many different beautiful shiurim about the uniqueness and the specialness of the Arayin, which, as we know, took up space, didn't take up space. The Arayin is nimna ha'nimnais. The Arayin is the impossible. The Arayin reveals the essence of godliness, which means it is the true revelation of Hashem in this world. So this is the whole purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. Where is this? In the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Arayin makes the Beis HaMikdash what it is. The Arayin makes the Kodesh HaKadoshim what it is. So the Arayin is not just a detail, not just something which is there to enable us to do something in the Beis HaMikdash. Rather, it actually makes the Beis HaMikdash what it truly is. And therefore, he says like this. So now, if that's the case, then we have a very big question. And it becomes very difficult for us. And it's something that is actually quite devastating when you learn Jewish history. Without learning a little bit of Chassidus, it can be quite devastating. Because when you learn Jewish history, the Jewish people had the first Beis HaMikdash, phenomenal, Shlomo HaMelech built it, then it's destroyed and they go into Golos Bavel, so very nice, they come back and they have the second Beis HaMikdash. But look what happens, Lefiza Nimza, Shebebayis Sheni, that in the second Beis HaMikdash, Shebeiloi Hayah HaArein, that there was no Arein Bim Kaimai in its place, so it seems, Loi Haya Kodesh HaKadoshim B'Shlei Musay, then the Kodesh HaKadoshim is not complete. Kloimar, Shebebayis Sheni Haya Chaser, Echad HaDvarim, Sheim Ikar B'Binyan HaBayis. What we, it's such a scary thing to think, but that's the way we usually learn it, but hopefully we'll see something beautiful. But if the Arayin is not there, then it seems that the second Beis HaMikdash can almost, maybe, not really be called a Beis HaMikdash. It's missing one of its main beams, so to speak. It's a structure which is faulty. So in order to remove this question, so therefore, what does the Rambam bring? Maybe a Rambam ha'arichus al dvagnizas ha'arein. That's why our halacha, which is in Perek Dalit specifically, but it's very detailed about the hiding of the Arayin, shelefize yuva, even in the second Beis HaMikdash, nothing was missing. There wasn't anything missing. So let's understand that a little bit more. Habir Bazeh, the explanation. At the time that Shlomo built the house, he created a place to hide the Arayin. So what is his intention? The Rambam's not here just to tell us some historical fact or some, you know, interesting detail about where the Arayin was hidden. The Rambam here is teaching us, and he's actually being mechadish, so he's really showing us something incredibly powerful, something that he, so to speak, revealed to us, a very important halacha in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Gnizas ha'arein einay rak inyan shel b'diyeved. The hiding of the Arayin is not just second best, v'leis breira, and there's no choice. Ela shemilechat chila, that in its original, so to speak, in the first instance, in the best way possible. Nikva b'binyan habayis, it is established in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Sha'arein yiyu loy shnei mekaymais b'beis HaMikdash. The Arein actually has two designated places in the Beis HaMikdash. Mokim goloy, one is a revealed place, ala even shesiyah b'kaydash HaKadoshim, on this foundational stone in the Kaydash HaKadoshim. That's one designated place. And there's another designated place, Makim Lagainze Lamata, a place to hide it underneath, Mikaydash HaKadoshim, underneath the Kaydash HaKadoshim, in these deep curvy vaults. The Af Makim Ze Humilchatchila Chelek Mehabayis. This place is as much the place of the Arayin as the Kaydash HaKadoshim is. They are both designated immediately. They both have the same holiness. They both have the same the same everything. In other words, they're both there, set out from the beginning for the Arayin. Kloimar, Gnizas HaArayin, Einay Inyan Naisav L'Beis HaMikdash. So the hiding of the Arayin is not just an additional thing to the Beis HaMikdash, that it was done because we had no choice and we wanted to protect the Arayin. Rather, Ela Shezo Din B'Binyan HaBayis, this is actually a halacha in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. K'shem Sheletzayrech Shleimus HaMikdash, just like for the completion of the Beis HaMikdash, Tzarech Sheyivne B'Makayim, you have to build a place, we all understand, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, this Holy of Holies, and there, B'Yamei Ta'arein, B'Eifin Goleh, there the Arein will stand in its rightful place, in its revealed place. The same way, Kach Tzarech Beis HaMikdash L'Makayim Geniza, the Beis HaMikdash needs a place designated, a hiding place, so to speak. Also, it seems directly underneath the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Bishvil HaArayin, for the Arayin, and with this, and we'll discuss it, we'll see a little bit more soon, Bazem Uftachas, Nitzchiyuse Shel Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's not, this is a very interesting point, here the Rebbe says, the eternity here is also of the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself, not just of the Arayin, the Holy of Holies is also eternal, Me'achar Sha'arayin Hu Chelek Ikri Mimenu, since the Arayin is the main part of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And this is why, and I will see all the different details, why they're significant. The Rambam says, at the time that Shlomo HaMelech built, when he was building the Beis HaMikdash, and he knew that it would be destroyed. Therefore, he builds a place special for hide, a designated place to hide it. Not that he decided on his own to build it. First of all, he had to be aware that the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed. And a very important part, v'nitztave, and he is commanded, ubana es makim hagniza, and he builds this special place for hiding it. Very important detail, not that Shlomo used his wisdom, but rather he was actually commanded by Hashem. Why is it important that Shlomo HaMelech should be commanded? And if we think about it, this is actually very painful. At the time of building the Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech had to be made aware that this magnificent Beis HaMikdash, which he is building, will be destroyed. Why is that so important? Harei ha'arein tzarech liyos b'kodesh hakadoshim. The arein had to be in the Holy of Holies. V'lochein, ilu ha'yashleim ha'chayfer stam makim l'mata, if Shlomo would have just built a place. How? By being commanded. If Hashem would say, build a place, build some tunnel, without telling Shlomo why, b'loy ladas es tachlisa, without telling Shlomo why he should build that place. In other words, maybe Hashem should have saved the pain on this most incredible time of Shlomo HaMelech's life. But no, what does Hashem do? He tells Shlomo exactly why and for what purpose he is building this special place. Why does he need to be aware? Because if he wasn't aware, because then when he was building that place, it wouldn't be designated as holy. The awareness, we know that when we do a mitzvah, and especially with the Beis HaMikdash, the intention is extremely important, the kavana. And he had to have the kavana, and therefore through that, he bestowed that special, windy, curvy place with the same holiness that the Kodesh HaKadoshim had in the upper part. Okay, then the Rebbe continues. Lefichach, Madgish HaRambam, that's why the Rambam emphasizes, that Shleiman knew that it would be destroyed, and therefore he builds a place to hide it. Milechatchila banu makim shel gniza letzayirech ha'aren, he builds it for the sake of the Aren, a place for the Aren to be hidden. As he says, Lemata, we're down b'matmeinies amukas v'akalkulis, right, these windy, curvy kind of tunnel, deep tunnels. U'memeila muvan shehu kitshay b'tur, Chelek Mikodesh Kadashim. He actually designated it and he made it holy as Kodesh Kadashim. This was done by Shlomo. And to emphasize this even more, and to show us even more how this special place of the Arayin is not just second best. This is a place which was designated from the beginning. That's why the Rambam continues with this fascinating second part. Al pizeh yuvan gam atam shekazav Rambam sheyesh Yoam Melech tziva v'gonzei b'mokim shebana shleima. That's why the Rambam continues to tell us who was the one that hid it. Yeshiyahu. And what is he? Yeshiyahu HaMelech. He commanded and he hid it in the place that Shleima HaMelech had, so to speak, designated as holy. K'day lo hichiach yoyser, shegnizas ha'arim b'makim zeh, is not b'dievet. So in order to prove to us and to show and to display that this is not just something of second best, rather this is an integral part of the Beis HaMikdash, and this is almost just another spot for the Arayin, nikfa milechatchil, and this was set aside from the beginning, that this should be its place of the Arayin, mivar ha-rambam shegam gnizas ha-arayin hoysa loy ba'eis ha-chorban. That's why the Rambam tells us, when did they hide the Arayin? Not at the time of the Chorban, because if it was done at the time of the Chorban, of the destruction, that would seem that we're doing it just to protect the Arayin. We have no choice. We have to make sure to hide it. No. What does the Rambam tell us? When was it done? It was done much before. We know that from the kings of the Jewish people at the time, during that time, this was Yeshiyahu. He was a great-grandson of Chizkiyah. After Chizkiyah, you know, unfortunately, Chizkiyah was a tremendous tzaddik, but then came his son Menashe and Amen, and they were not very good kings. But then came Yeshiyah. Yeshiyahu himself was an incredible king, and the Jewish people did tremendous tshuva during his time. It was actually a very beautiful time, so to speak, the last, if you want to say, good time before the Chorban. And during the time of Yeshiyahu, which, as we said before, is about 30-40 years before the Chorban, so the Chorban is not there yet. What does he do? It's interesting. The Beis HaMikdash is still standing. He doesn't think, I mean, he knows, I mean, the Nevi'im have already prophesied, it's true, that Echulda prophesied to him and Yirmiyahu had prophesied, but nevertheless, it wasn't yet the time, and he was even told, Yeshiyahu himself was promised that he would not see the Chorban. And yet he took it upon himself that he should take the Arayin and put it in that special designated place. Why? Because this shows us that it was me'ein hachnasas ha'arayin l'kodesh hakadoshim al yidei shleima. Yeshiyahu putting that Arayin in that special designated place is treating the Arayin with the most incredible respect, with the most incredible honor, and it's almost as if he's reenacting what Shlomo, his great-great-great-great-grandfather did when he built the Beis HaMikdash in its height of glory. So Shlomo takes the Arayin and obviously sends it with the Kohanim in the most beautiful, honorable way into its special place. And here, look, all the details. Who is it? Yeshiyahu HaMelech, the king, just like his grandfather, Shlomo HaMelech. And what does he do? He commands. He doesn't just say, hurry up, take it quickly, quickly, they're coming, the enemies are coming. He commands. This is like a command from the king, which is done in an honorable way, to take this Arayin and to put it where? In a place which Shlomo had, so to speak, similar to Shlomo, but also a place which Shlomo had built. Again, the same way that Shlomo had done it, with the most honorable men, so to speak, with dignity, in the most dignified way possible. Al derech shehoyah bimei Shlomo asher ve'yaviyu ha'kayhanim es arein bris Hashem el mekayma, just like in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, when the Kayhanim brought the Arein into its designated place. And that that's another very beautiful detail that Rebbe says. If you look into the Rambam, V'lochein, Medayik HaKosav HaLoshen, Tnu Esarein HaKadosh. The truth is, this is the Rambam is quoting the Pasuk. What does Yeshio say? He says, put the Arein Kodesh in the house, which Shlaima built. In other words, in that special hiding place. Rather, She'ein Zeh Pu'ula Shel Siluk V'Netilas Ha'arein Mimkaimai. We're not talking about removing. He doesn't say, take it out quickly, take it out so it shouldn't be found. Rather, he says, place it. Place it sounds like it's something that you are doing with a definite action, something that you are doing with kavana, with intention, because that's where it's meant to be. That's where it has to go. Ella adarabas, he says, zeu inyan shel nesina bebayis. This is, so to speak, putting it in a place in the house. And that's why, umitamze mevi haramam gamesim hakosuf, the Rambam brings the end of the pasuk. Ein lochem masa bekosuf, that you don't have, okay, it's true that you won't be able to carry it anymore. In other words, it's not in a revealed place anymore, as we say. Rather, but nevertheless, sha'afal pisha mikan ve'elach ya'arein b'matzav shel geniza. Right, the Aron is now in a hidden place, and Mela Ein Lachem HaEfsharis Shel Masa Bekasif. So it's not revealed. It's not something that you can see, so to speak. Even theoretically, you can't carry it anymore. But still, Ein Zechisarim BaHavayda Shem Beis Hamikdash. This is not a lack in the service of the Beis Hamikdash. Rather, what does the pasuk continue? Kiim Ivdu Es Hashem Alikecha BeBeis Hamikdash. Serve Hashem. Continue to serve Hashem. Nothing is missing. The Beis HaMikdash remains intact. It remains with its previous glory, its previous holiness. So let's see. We'll continue a little more. And I just wanted to show you one very nice thing. Just see over here. Oh, so you see, if you see note number 32, Al Pizei Yesh Levar Mashikael Haram, that the Rambam, what does the Rambam include? Bahalachazu al dvar tzinsenes haman umata aron. He includes that little jug of the mon and the stick of aron. Hein bahascholas halacha, both at the beginning of the halacha, as he says, v'lefan of tzinsenes haman umata aron, and also at the end of the halacha, v'nignazu imay, that it was hidden with it, the stick of aron and the small jug of Shemen HaMishcha, V'chol Eilu V'Eilu, Loi Chazru, and all of these things didn't return in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Why does the Rambam mention all those details? Ki mizeh muchach oid yoyser, because this shows us, even more, proves to us, Shegan b'makim shenignez ha'aren, hevei makim ha'aren. That where the Arain is hidden, that is the place. It's like when, you know, we say we go on vacation, so you know, you don't have everything with you. But here we're talking about everything coming along with the Arein. It's complete. It has everything, all the trimmings, everything in the same exact way as it was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In the same way, it is now in its special hiding place. That's why it mentions all of these special extra things. I just wanted to share one beautiful small thing. You know, we say that these, and we'll continue to see a beautiful lesson from all of this, what this all will show us about the specialness of the Beis HaMikdash and Arein, and what it means for us today. But just a few small details. You know, it says that what was hidden with the Arein, what is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Arein, and then hidden with the Arein, as we say, is the stick of Arein, as well as the Tzinsenes Haman. So the Mon, this little jug of the Mon, why was it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So that's something that we can all understand. We won't go into depth. I think next week we have a shiur on Betochen. We all understand what the Mon symbolizes, this incredible power of trust in Hashem. And that is such an integral part of us. That's like the essence of a Jew. That's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's the Holy of Holies, as we learned with the story of the Ora Chaim HaKadosh. Right? He worked every day, only enough for what he needed to live that day, and then he stopped working. That's why he was saved afterwards from the lion's den, because he didn't have just bitachon at the time of danger. His bitachon was what he lived with day by day, moment by moment. This is what's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But what else is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? We have the special stick of Aaron. Why is it there? What does it symbolize? So there's a few beautiful things even. I'll just, as I say, do this very quickly. I know it's own sheer, but just a quick beautiful thing. We say that this stick of Aaron is known also as the Mate Levi, right? Because this stick was the one that flowered and blossomed and gave forth almonds during the time when Aaron was contested as being the by Koyrach. And it says like this, that it's called also the Mate Levi. And I'm sorry, I know I should have had this, but I don't have it on your screen. So forgive me, if you have a pen and paper, you might want to write just a little bit of a gematria. So a beautiful thing. It says the word Mate Levi, which is the stick of Levi. So if you take the first two letters, Mate Levi, the Mem and the Lamed. Mem is 40, Lamed is 30, which gives us 70. 70 is Ayin in Hebrew. And then if you take the rest of the letters, the Tes, the Hey, the Vav, and the Yud, it equals 30, which gives us Lamed. What word do we get? Al, on. What is on? Upon, or on even more. On shows us elevation, something which is above, something which is higher. Mata Arain, this is the stick which shows us, so to speak. It's the highest. Arain is the highest, so to speak. But this shows us that the Kodesh HaKadoshim was the place where we had the greatest revelation of godliness. Deeper than that, a little bit deeper. We take the word Arain. Arain, the gematria of Arain is 256, which is actually 16 squared is 256. If you take the Mata Levi together, we get 100, which is 10 squared. 10 plus 16 equals 26, which we know is the name Havaya, the Shem Yutke Vavke, again, the revelation of godliness. All of these things show us that what took place in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the most tremendous revelation of godliness. But even more than that, we know what happened to this Mate. A Mate is just a dry stick, and Hashem miraculously made it blossom. How do we say flower? Perach. Perach is Pei Reish Ches, which we know in Chassidus and Kabbalah is a very big number, 288. That symbolizes the 288 sparks of holiness which fell into this world. But what's the purpose? We have to elevate them. Where do we gain the strength to elevate the sparks? Obviously, the Beis HaMikdash, in a sense, that's the microcosm. That's where the Hashem is revealed. And that is the place where, as we say, that's the Dira B'tachtenim. We elevate all the sparks and we reveal godliness in this world. There are many, many beautiful lessons. Even the word Shoked, which is also the part of the Mate, the stick it actually blossomed, is the same as Kodesh, if you unscramble the letters. Anyways, there's many beautiful things, but we're going to move on in our sicha because these are really nothing to do with this. But just to show us again how everything was so exact, so specific, and so beautiful in the Beis HaMikdash. But that, in a sense, almost can make us feel, in a sense, more sad. Because here we are, Rish Chodesh Av, and the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt, unfortunately, at this moment. It only takes 1 second, then it will be rebuilt. And we can think, and we do feel that we have a tremendous loss. So let's see what the Rebbe says. That's why we have this halacha in the Rambam. Because here the Rambam is teaching us something very incredible. Al pi kol ha'omur, according to all that we've stated before, about the fact that the place of the Arein is two places. One, the place in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, upstairs, so to speak. One underneath, in these windy, curvy tunnels. Yaitzei chidush v'hafla. So what comes out from this? A tremendously powerful, beautiful chidush. Loi rak b'negei l'shleimus hamayel v'kdusha shal habayis sheni. Not only regarding the holiness of the second Beis HaMikdash. How does it show us something wondrous about the second Beis HaMikdash? Shegam oz haya kodesh hakadoshim b'shlei musay v'ha'arayin b'mkaymay. This shows us that even during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, the kodesh hakadoshim was there in its complete way. As we said before, we might think no, but here we see that yes, it is. And the Arein is in its rightful place. It's a place which Shlomo had designated originally when he built the Beis HaMikdash. Ella, but not only that. Bazem v'ueres maila gambik dushas bayis rishain. We also learn a tremendous, beautiful lesson, a beautiful, tremendous thing about the greatness of the first Beis HaMikdash. Lam reisha b'chitzenis lo haya bayis rishain binyan nitzchi, even though, so to speak, if you look superficially, in an external way, this first Beis HaMikdash wasn't an eternal structure. The fact is that it had the capability, it had the potential, and it was actually destroyed. Aval bepnimiyusay af bay nitan inyan shel nitzchiyus. What do we learn from all of this? That in its essence, there is an eternity even to the first Beis HaMikdash. Not only a holiness in the second Beis HaMikdash, but an eternity in the first Beis HaMikdash. Shebebayis rishon yeshnei makom geniza shebeiloi haya churban, that it has a place which is a place of hiding, which was never destroyed. V'ha'arein hu b'mkaymai ad hayoyim hazeh. And the Arein is in its rightful place until today. Zeshek dusha rishon akachal ashaita v'akachal asid lovay. Humachmas kedushas hamakim mipnei hashchina. You know, we always talk about the place of the Beis HaMikdash, the place of the Kaisel, that it has this holiness, because that's where Hashem's Shechina rests. And obviously it's there eternally. But here the Rambam is telling us something much more. Aval kan mechadesh harambam inyan amuk yaser, a much deeper concept. Shegam habinyan gufay, yesh bay inyan v'chelek, shehu l'shaitai u'l'asid lavay. That in its structure, in the building, in the actual first Beis HaMikdash, there is a part which is there temporarily, but it's also there eternally. It is always there. Kodesh HaKadoshim nivne milchatchila l'shaitai u'l'asid lavay. And this was done by Shlomo HaMelech in its original time, that it has this permanence, this eternity, and it's there for that time and forever. Sheyesh le'makim geniza, it has a place for it to be actually hidden, the Arein. Al pi anal gam yitaysev oimek ba'kishur shebein gimel batei hamikdash. Now we learn something else beautiful, that there's a very deep connection between the three Beis HaMikdash. How does it work? Ein zeh sheyeshnam gimel batei hamikdash. It's not that there are three separate houses, if you want to say, that are built, one by Shlomo, one by Ezra, one by Mashiach. Sheyesh shaychas bein zeh lazeh, that they have a connection to each other. Ela be'ikar heim bayis echad. Rather, they're really one house. Beis HaMikdash hasheni v'chein hashlishi einai bayis chadash. They're not new. They're not a new house. Rather, ela habayis harishain nivne mechadash. It is only the first Beis HaMikdash which is being, so to speak, if you want to say, rebuilt in a certain sense, if you want to say redone, re-revealed, but it's really there. It's very interesting. The Rebbe points out something beautiful. This is the idea that we say about us, you know, how we have this special bone, the etzem loz, it's known, that special bone, wherever it is in the neck, that never decomposes, and it is from there that we will have Tchias HaMeisim, which shows that there is always something which is, there is something which is always existing. So therefore, it's not a new something, for, like something out of nothing. It is actually a continuous existence. In Chassidus, it explains something very, very beautiful and very powerful when we think about this. And this ties in just to something. I just have to digress for 1 minute and we'll come back, mindful of the time, because time is running out. But a very beautiful thing. It says that when Yaakov davened, you know, when he had his dream, and then he says, this is a base kel, that, you know, when he had his dream of the ladder and the malachim going up and down, and he says, what is the name of the place? The name of the place is base kel. And the pasuk tells us, this place is called base kel, but originally it was known as Luz. What is Luz? Why does the pasuk mention? Who cares what the name was originally? So the Rabbeinu Bechaya says something beautiful there. He says that this Luz is symbolic. It's actually a hint to this bone that we call the Etzem Luz, that is with which Hashem will, so to speak, if you want to say, bring about Tchias HaMeisim. What is it showing us? Something very beautiful. We know that even halachically and anything, even for ourselves to understand, something which is there, which never, so to speak, which has never totally disappears, is always there, so to speak. In other words, it's there. And if something comes and changes it a little bit, if the change is not a permanent change, then that item actually is really identified with its original thing. So in other words, even halachically speaking, if somebody steals something, it says, and if you damage the item to such an extent that it cannot be repaired, well, then you have to pay back money. But if you damage the item only to the extent that it, so to speak, in a way which it can be repaired, you actually have to give back the item itself. Because if it's a change which can be undone, then it's not considered a change. This shows us something so incredible. The fact that we have this Etzem Luz, the fact that we never totally become we're never disappear totally. What does that show? And this is, as Yaakov Avinu said, this is the name of the original place, and this is the place where Hashem created the world from. The truth is that the fact that there's death in the world, that's something which Hashem added. What's the original state? The original state is eternity. The original state is where a person lives forever. And therefore, this idea of the third Beis HaMikdash that we're talking about, as in our context, or the fact that there will be Tchiyas HaMeisim, the fact that Mashiach will come, this is not something which is an aberration. Rather, the aberration is the way it is now. The fact that we're in Golos, the fact that there is death in the world, that's something which is only an external thing which will automatically revert, so to speak, and disappear when Hashem wants the world to go back to the way it's meant to function. So, as I said, that's we really need more time for that, but I just want to show you a very beautiful thing that the Rebbe says about this. Now that we understand that the first Beis HaMikdash is eternal because the Aron was hidden there and it was L'chatchila hidden there on purpose, designated by Shlomo with a special holiness, the second Beis HaMikdash has obviously nothing lacking in it, the third Beis HaMikdash, although we don't see it, it's already, as we say, in a sense, there. The holiness is there. So what does that show us? That, first of all, gives us an incredible lift, an incredible, if you want to say, inspiration to feel that for Hashem to, so to speak, rebuild and rebring the Beis HaMikdash, it's not very difficult. It's there already. The holiness is there. The revelation is there. Everything is there. Everything is intact. It's just a matter of removing any of the darkness, any of the, if you want to say, that screen that's hiding it all. And I just want to show you something beautiful that the Rebbe also brings out, that in truth, had Shlomo HaMelech not built that special hiding place, the Beis HaMikdash, in truth, would not even have been able to be destroyed. But Hashem, for some reason, wanted. Why did Hashem want to give the potential for destruction? That's such a terrible thing. So it shows us something very, very, very interesting. He says that at the time that Shlomo builds the Beis HaMikdash, and all the joy and all the hype, he's aware that it will be destroyed, so to speak. That gives the potential for it to be eternal, and yet it also gives the potential of the destruction. So he says, "Chorban habayis lehayu l'shem ha-chorban." Obviously, this destruction is not for the sake of the destruction itself. Chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. Ela kadesha al yidei zeh t'taysef aliyah nailus yoser. Rather, it is to accomplish a much greater elevation, as we say, Yerida tzayrech aliyah. Ad l'habinyan shel habayis ha-shlishi sheyeh binyan nitzchi, bayis nitzchi. We know that the third Beis HaMikdash will be an eternal house. As we say, it is already eternal. The first Beis HaMikdash structurally, that's what it's showing us. Not just in a holiness, but physically, structurally, like we're saying with the Etzem Luz. Structurally, it is actually eternal. But nevertheless, there is a concept of a destruction. And the destruction is to bring about a tremendous elevation. As we always say, Yerida Litzayrech Aliyah. And I just want to show you, that's why the Rebbe says something beautiful also. That's why we use this language, the Rambam uses this language of these windy, curvy tunnels that are built underneath, so to speak, this vault in a deep way. So just to finish with this, he says, "Yesh al pizei yesh lefarsh gam kein bepinimis hanyanim es gimel halishoynis sharambam kaisev al dvar hamakim shenignuzu by Aron." The place that Aron was hidden, the Rambam uses interesting language to describe it. Bematmeinias amukais v'akalkulais. As we said, these are very deep. Amukais, very deep, and if you want to say akalkulais, windy, curvy, and hidden. Tunnels, vaults. Bazem Ramis Haramba Mesaila Shinikva Ba Mikdash Alyidesha Banam Mokim Lignes by Haarain. Afal Pisha Bechit Sainis Hareza Kosher Iminin Hakorban. The fact that this is built shows us that there will be a destruction. That's why we have to have this place. Nevertheless, what does it really show us? It shows us of Aldafka Al Yide Yirida Zu Nasis Haliyah Shemisgalis Habchina Shel Matmainiyais Amukais. What is going to be revealed? The most hidden depths, the most hidden incredible things which are usually unable to be revealed. And that's why they are hidden. And this sometimes can show on a negative, something which is hidden. And yet on the positive side, it's going to reveal the essence of godliness, which usually is inaccessible. And in the language of Kabbalah, we say, umuk, umuk, miyim tse'ena. It says, like, who can find that depth, which is called in Kabbalah, I think it says over here, the Or Chayzer. We have a concept of a direct light, which you can reveal, you can access by doing mitzvahs, by Torah, by doing everything in the proper way, by just doing things the way they're meant to be done. But then there's a much deeper light, which in translated liberally would be the rebound, which, as we know, when you take a light and it's rebound, it's much stronger. How do you reveal that deep essence, that incredible great depth of light, which is usually, it's not even light, it's a revelation of, it's a godliness which is usually not revealed? That is only done through a Baal Tshuva. That is only done when we acted, unfortunately, perhaps, in a windy, curvy way, and not in a direct way. So here we see that the fact that the Beis HaMikdash has the potential of the destruction is there really in order to reveal the most incredible, greatest depth, which is found within each and every one of us, which is found within the world. And as we said to start at right at the beginning, this is just one small, very small little insight, and I'm sorry I rushed a little bit, and it's a very beautiful sicha, which really, I guess, needs a little bit more time. But we can see something so powerful, how first of all, in the darkest times, in the difficult times, in the challenging times, whether they be windy, curvy times, not direct, and we don't exactly know, we sometimes feel like we're a little bit fumbling, and things don't seem so clear and so accessible, and yet we see from here that that is the greatest opportunity, the most incredible opportunity to reveal within us the deepest parts of ourself, the deepest parts of our neshama, the strongest parts. But how come? Because the Arein, as we say, is always there. The Kodesh HaKadoshim remains the Holy of Holies. And within us, we also have the Kodesh HaKadoshim, whether we feel it or we have to dig deeper, but it's always there, it's always perfectly intact, and it's always accessible. And what we are hoping in Ritz Hashem, as we say, Shezeyeh Begiloi B'Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, HaBinyan HaNitzchi, the true eternal house, as we say, that's only something that needs to be revealed because it's already eternal. Sheyivne V'Yisgala, that will be built, will be actually revealed, B'mheira B'Yameinu Mamish, B'Geula HaMitzvah V'Hashleima Al Yedei Mashiach Tzidkenu. Okay, that's it. All right, I don't know if there's any questions.